Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast, on more than 140 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, coming to you from the free state of Iowa in my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching Middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Great to have you along on the program. Todd continues his business trip out of town. He will be back with you again tomorrow, and we look forward to his attendance with us back in the air chair. We have a great list of guests, as always. I'll tell you about it in a moment, but I want to start immediately by going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line so we can maximize our time with the governor of the state of Iowa, the Honorable Kim Reynolds. Governor, thanks for taking time to talk to us coast to coast today. How are you?
Oh, hi, Jeff. It's great to be with you. A little bit of a cold, those darn grandkids, but otherwise I'm doing great.
Well, it's worth it, right? That's what you signed
on
for.
That's right.
Something else you'll be signing tomorrow is a very important piece of legislation. Iowa will again have a fetal heartbeat law. Walk us through the history for those across the country who don't know the process of what we here in our home state have tried to enact over the course of the past half dozen years.
Yeah, well, lots transpired since 2018. I'll just start by saying that the right to life is the most important right that we have, and without it, nothing else matters. And as the governor in 2018, I signed into law the fetal heartbeat bill. It was enjoined, which means they filed a lawsuit by those that are not pro-life in 2019, and we have been really working that through the courts since then. We would say that a lot has changed since 2019, especially when you take into consideration not only the Iowa Supreme Court, but the United States Supreme Court found that there was no constitutional right to an abortion. And in Iowa specifically, they overturned a previous court's ruling that actually added that right into the Constitution. And so, of course, working through the court system, it finally went to the Supreme Court. We had one of the justices recuse himself. It ended up with a 3-3 split. So we had no majority opinion that was reached. And therefore, what that meant that the district court's decision was affirmed. And so basically, you know, in the opinion, Justice Waterman especially noted that in the interim, the undue burden standard would still apply and that it would take another abortion case or new legislation to come before the court. That would be an appropriate vehicle, and that you know, all justices should be involved in that decision. Also said a lot of other things that I absolutely disagree with. Three of the justices weighed in, we believe appropriately, and ruled that it should be the enjoined should be removed, and it should be set as a rational basis for the standard, and that the heartbeat bill should become law. So tomorrow, I'm going to sign the bill again. I'm proud to say that it passed with even a larger margin than it did in 2018. And we're going to continue to do everything we can to fight for the unborn and the most vulnerable among us.
This is a lesson in perseverance, because the bill was passed. You let it go to court because, of course, there would be the challenge. But rather than just sitting back, once the Iowa Supreme Court a month ago said we're not going to reach a decision on whether to resurrect the old law, you called a special session within just a few weeks of that. What was the reason for calling the special session as opposed to waiting until January when the Iowa General Assembly normally would reconvene?
Well, first of all, we're going to do everything we can to save babies, and we just completely just was so the ruling was just ridiculous, and especially the activist position that three of them took. And so to get the process started, this is rare is that we call a special session, but I reached out to the leaders in both chambers and said that this was my intent, and we were able to come together and this week and get, you know, through it worked through both chambers. We basically repassed the fetal heartbeat bill. We made a few changes to a minimal and passed it, you know, into law again for the second time. And as I indicated, you know, I think a statement was made, too, that they didn't think that with Roe and with the environment that we're in right now, that it potentially would pass. And, you know, I think these are, you know, we believe strongly in the right to life. And it's not, you know, a decision that, you know, we take lightly. And what's happening in the public square is going to change our mind. And I think we demonstrated that with the passage of the heartbeat bill for a second time with a larger margin than we had before. And again, we're going to stand firmly behind those that can't protect themselves.
And once again, you were up for election last year. You made it very clear that this piece of legislation was high on your list of priorities. Members of the House and Senate, Republicans running for seats, did the same thing. You won a resounding reelection, if I remember, 68% of the vote. You increased the Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate. So this is truly a matter of not just perseverance, but we're making a promise. By gum, we're going to keep the promise. And this is what the people who voted for you expected.
Right, right. And we're going to make sure that, you know, these are elected individuals. It's not you know, three separate branches of government. And these are individuals that have been elected by the people, to your point. I won in 2018. That was my first run for governor. And it was not a good year for Republicans. The last poll that came out right before the election had me down, I think, three. And I signed the fetal heartbeat bill in 2018 and made it clear that I was a pro-life governor, and my opponent actually was, you know, a huge proponent of Planned Parenthood and abortion. And I ended up winning that election. And fast forward to 2022, with every, you know, absolutely clear that I was a pro-life governor, won by 19 percentage points. And to your point, we have a supermajority in the Senate and a near supermajority in the House. So this is a reflection of where the people of Iowa are at. They need to, you know, we need to have the courts quit silencing them and let the legislature do their job and have the bill upheld. And you know, we think, especially with the changes in Roe and with the changes in the Iowa Supreme Court saying that the Constitution does not provide a fundamental right to an abortion, we feel like we're in a really good place this time with this new legislation moving forward.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I wanted to have you on the program not only because of the great news with regard to the fetal heartbeat bill, and by the way, for the audience's benefit, those against it have already filed a lawsuit to stop it, and she hasn't even signed it into law yet. So that gives you an idea of the discussion here. But let's talk education savings accounts. This truly is a model for nations to follow. Success beyond, I think, your wildest expectations in year one.
Oh, it really exceeded expectations. I mean, that's what I was hearing on the ground. I think that's why we had the primary results that we did. I think that's why we were so successful in the general election. We talked to Iowans. We told them what we were going to do. And we listened to them. I mean, especially after COVID and they got a front row seat to what was happening in the classroom. They really, you know, want the opportunity to decide the educational environment that's best for their children. They believe that they are their children, that this isn't a co-parent operation with government and parents. And within the first 2 weeks of the legislative session, we passed one of the boldest universal school choice programs in the country. And Jeff, for the first few days, we were processing one application every 12 seconds. And this was a very aggressive timeline. A lot of the states that have passed it, you know, didn't intend on standing it up this year. We did. So we gave Iowans just a month to register. And we had over 29,000 submitted. We have approved to date about 17,800. We will probably end up, as they're working through some of the applications that need some more details, I think we'll probably end up about 18,000. We'd kind of projected about 14,000 when we were running the numbers based on what we saw in other states. So again, that tells you the interest that is there, that parents really want to make that decision. And as I've said all along, I believe this will elevate all of education. It will make all of us better. And we're already seeing that from a lot of our schools. But I will tell your listeners, as part of passing school choice, we also provided long overdue flexibility for our public schools, including the opportunity to increase teacher salaries. I put together a small group of superintendents that I'll be working with over the interim to look at more opportunities to really give them the flexibility to be innovative and competitive. We're looking at teacher salaries. So I'm really looking holistically at education, but it's a paradigm shift. We're not going to fund systems anymore. We're going to fund students, and everybody's going to have to really do their best to entice these kids into the school. So it ran about 40-60. We had about 40% of the applicants were public moving to private, and then 60% were families that were already in private school. But, you know, this first year, I want to remind your listeners, they had to be at 300% of federal poverty level. And so 81%, no, that's just for the kids that were in private school, but 81% of all of the approved applicants, the range of income was less than 100% to 300% of federal poverty level. So it's really parents that didn't have the means to have that choice that are taking advantage of the new law that we put into place.
And again, you've got more demand than you have supply in traditional private classrooms, and so that opens up the door to expansion of that industry as well. We just have a few minutes more with Governor Kim Reynolds. I don't want you to lose your voice before tomorrow's event and the signing of the fetal heartbeat bill, but we're here in the state of Iowa. We now know that January 15, 2024 is when the Iowa First in the Nation presidential precinct caucuses will be held. You and I think all of our high-ranking elected state officials have said no endorsements. We want an open playing field. We want everybody to come to Iowa. What's the rationale for someone who has a great popularity like you, based on the record, to say, no, I am not going to publicly endorse any candidate? What's the rationale behind that?
Well, first of all, it's been a long-standing tradition of governors, especially, and a lot of our elected officials as well, not maybe so much legislators, but especially our congressional delegation. Because we're the First in the Nation caucus, and we take that very seriously, I want all of our candidates that are running for the highest office in this country to feel like they have a fair shake. And I trust Iowans to help, you know, determine that. They take this role very seriously. Iowans are very knowledgeable on the issues. They're engaged. What I've seen with the many events that I've done with all of the candidates, a great turnout. I've seen people, you know, attending multiple events and really asking questions and listening. And so, you know, I have a role, I think, as the governor to welcome them. I said I would do events with them. We would keep them posted on, you know, big events that were happening in the state. But we want you to come, and we want you to come often. It's good for them. It's good for Iowans. And really, I want to just, people forget what our role is. I see so many of these posts saying, oh, they don't pick right and this and that, and why Iowa? Well, you know, our role is to narrow the field between Iowa and New Hampshire. That is the role that we play. And when they say we're not very diverse, I always say, well, maybe you should ask Barack Obama how he feels about that, because this was a state that launched him through the First in the Nation process. So, you know, it really does do the job that it was designed to do. It's great for our state. Iowans love it. I love it. And, you know, I'm really holding true that I'm holding true in a tradition that's been in place for, you know, a long time. And we've been doing this for a long time.
In our remaining 1 minute with Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, I don't really care what the New York Times says. more of us should take that view. But I think a while ago they suggested that based upon Iowa being first in the nation with your track record as governor, you would check a lot of boxes as people are looking for a vice presidential running mate. What interest do you have if one of these candidates, the nominee of your party, makes a phone call to your residence at Terrace Hill?
I'm flattered by that, but I'm telling you, I am so focused on Iowa right now. I am so proud of what we have been able to do over the last two legislative sessions. We had a historic legislative session, universal school choice, tort reform for med mal and commercial trucking. We did a realignment bill where, you know, government officials talk about shrinking government. We actually cut 21 agencies from my cabinet. And in the last week, we were able to work together with the Senate and the House leadership, and we did property tax reduction. So I'm already working on next year. Mark my word, we're going to bring those taxes down even lower, especially the income tax. I want to be competitive. We're working on a big comprehensive education bill. So I appreciate that. It's flattering, but I am so focused on just continuing to make Iowa the best place to live, work, and raise a family. And we're on the move. And our national profile is rising, and I'm loving every minute of it.
And besides, the grandchildren are close by in Iowa.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, the ones that get me sick. I love the people that camp. I think that's what happened. We camped down at the farm this last weekend, and, you know, I was in the face. I thought it was allergies, but I think it was actually a cold that that little stinker had. So we were swimming and fishing, and we popped the tent up and roasted some hot dogs and s'mores, and it was amazing. So, you know, my family is really important to me, and they keep me real and grounded and obviously sick. they are the joy of my life. Make no mistake of that.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, thanks for taking time to join us on the national show. I'll see you at the Lincoln Dinner in a couple of weeks in Des Moines.
Sounds good. Should be fun.
Governor Kim Reynolds of the state of Iowa, she joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starn Show. More from the Liberty University studio after this break. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or ship to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Did not get a chance to tell you what's coming up on the program. I wanted to maximize our time with Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, who is certainly on a roll, politically speaking. And signing a fetal heartbeat bill tomorrow is just the latest example of that. Coming up at the top of hour number two, just a little more than a half hour away, frequent guest on this program, Liz Peek, will join us, and we'll talk about the behavior of the president and how it is becoming even odder, if that were the case, to the point that even the mainstream media, formerly mainstream media, is noticing. We'll talk with Liz Peek about that as we start hour number two of this three-hour program. In the third hour, we'll speak with the author of a new book entitled The Real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior. The author's name is Dick Russell. He has worked with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in a variety of ways over the years. He put this book together not because Mr. Kennedy was running for president, but because he was being attacked by so many of his former friends on the left And he thought, well, we got to tell the real story. So we'll talk with Dick Russell about his friend, RFK Jr. That's in hour number three. Also in hour number three, South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman will join us to talk about contemporary topics, including the defense authorization bill. So all that and more from the Liberty University studio. Break now, back on the other side. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Starn Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
Todd Starn Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today at the Liberty University studio, and we encourage you to join this coast-to-coast conversation. Call us at 844-747-8868. That's a free call. Todd will pay for it. 844-747-8868. If you go to toddstarns.com, which you should do on a regular basis, you'll see that the Secret Service, there's a story here where the Secret Service has concluded its investigation into the cocaine found at the White House. And apparently there's nothing to see here. They have looked through visitor logs. They've looked through surveillance footage of hundreds of individuals. And the Secret Service cannot identify a suspect of who brought a bag of coke into the White House, the West Wing. The theory, supposedly, according to sources reported to CNN and posted at toddstarns.com, supposedly the theory is it was left by a visitor. Now, when you go to the White House, and I've not done it very much, but I've gone a couple of times, you're checked, you're searched, you're, I mean, this was pre-9/11 for crying out loud. There's a lot of security there. Well, apparently now they ask you to leave your phones and they have these little cubby holes. They're like lockers that I see at a post office where there's a key and that's what you get to unlock the storage locker. You get what you need. You leave the key. I mean, just leave it in the lock. And apparently that's where this was found, was in one of these lockers. But, oh, wait, the key's missing. So the person who put it in there still has the key. Okay, who has the key to box number 50? That'd be a place I would look first. A small bag of cocaine. Oh, well, that's all right, as long as it's a small bag. It is frightening on a variety of levels, in my view, and I'd love to hear what you think. Let me know at 844-747-8868. Here's where it's frightening. Is this part of the double standard? That if this were the Trump administration, would they try to pin possession of the drugs on one of the members of the family? Because I've talked to some folks who used to work in the White House. They say the only people who don't get searched when they come in are members of the immediate family. Not even the chief of staff. Chief of staff has to get checked. Everybody gets checked. Except for the first family. And a bag of cocaine shows up. Now, the other thing, and Mr. Starnes, I believe, pointed this out on a tweet today. It's a bag of cocaine. There are no fingerprints that can be obtained. It's July in Washington, D.C. Who was wearing gloves to avoid fingerprints being detected? Unless, of course, it's part of an organized effort and it was a drug drop. another reason that I have concern. I don't know that I care what the contraband was, to be honest with you. I really don't. The narcotics are illegal, and we really shouldn't have coke in the West Wing of the White House, I don't think. I mean, what's wrong with a heavily caffeinated beverage if you need to get a little upper there? Maybe it's what they used to get Joe for his appearances. I don't know. You've noticed that sometimes he seems like he's raring to go, and other times he literally falls asleep standing there. Well, maybe that's part of it. But what if it wasn't cocaine or a bag like that? What if it was anthrax? What if it was a small weapon of some kind? We don't have enough security to stop drugs or small items like that. We don't have enough security people. We don't have enough security cameras. This is the home of the executive branch of government. This is where the president lives and works. We can't protect 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue any better than that. Unless, of course, it is somebody's. And the cover-up continues of all manner of illegal activity tied to the current president, his family members, his associates. If you can give me a better explanation for all this, I would love to hear it. But at this point, how do you explain that the Secret Service, really good people, how can they not find a suspect? How can this be an unsolved mystery? Unless there are people who don't want it to be solved and don't want us to know what's going on there. This was supposed to be a tremendously transparent administration. And we all know that that's not true. We know that this president said he would not abide by any staff member being nasty to another staff member, etc. That tripped up a high-ranking communications person within the first month. And now you've got stories that the president himself is going off on staff members, which, by the way, and we'll talk with Liz Peek more about this in less than 30 minutes, Biden was known to have a temper. The current gentlemanly Uncle Joe, Grandpa, the nation's grandpa, kindly old Joe, that's not really what people know him see. Hasn't been for years. Maybe getting worse now. In any event, the fact that the Secret Service has ended its investigation and there's nothing to see here about the coke in the White House is of great concern. It's of great concern because it doesn't feel right. If you substitute anthrax or a weapon for cocaine, are you more concerned? Do you think this is how it would be handled if the president's name was something other than Biden? These are the things that make me suspicious. I don't know that I'm suspicious by nature. I have come to be cynical when our government, reacts the way it does to these things. When this is what we wind up seeing, yeah, I'm a little suspicious. I'm a little concerned. You can follow Todd Starnes on Twitter and, what's the new one, Threads? I should know I'm on it too. Getter, Truth Social, he's at Todd Starnes on those locations, and he just posted a tweet, and I will quote Mr. Starnes. They can't figure out who brought cocaine into the White House. They can't figure out who planted bombs outside the RNC and DNC. They can't figure out who leaked the Dobbs decision. They should have let Barney Fife handle the investigations. You know, Barney, with his one bullet buttoned in his shirt pocket, probably could have done a far better job. And when Barney left Mayberry, didn't he become an investigator up at Mount Pilot, I think? Some of you who know the show better can tell me. Well, in any case, 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us here in the Liberty University studio. React to any of this news or anything that you've heard or anything you'd like to talk about. 844-747-8868. As we have time today, I want to talk with you about how language is being changed and subverted in sometimes subtle ways to help an agenda, particularly fostered by those on the left. I have spoken with you folks before about the fact that what is supposed to be impartial news coverage is at times tainted by the words that are used. For example, the Associated Press in many areas of the country, their local people, will refer to a legislature like the State House or the State Senate. If Republicans have the majority, they say it's a Republican-controlled chamber. But if Democrats have the majority, it's a Democrat-led majority. A lot of difference between controlling and leading. They use controlling when they don't agree politically. They use leading when they do agree. That's been happening for decades. It's subtle. I dare say most of them don't even realize they're doing it, but that's the mindset. You have to listen carefully to all the words because they're changing the meaning, and I'll have more examples as we go along today. 844-747-8868. Let's take a break now from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this Thursday edition of the Todd Starn Show.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation, and we encourage you to do so. Coming up just after the top of the hour, Liz Peek will talk about the Biden administration and how people, even more and more people, are waking up to what we really have sitting there. This is at toddstarns.com, and it was something I wanted to talk about separately. And this has to do with, and I'm sorry if you're tired of hearing about this, but this has to do with Dylan Mulvaney. Dylan Mulvaney was born a male who announced he was transgender, coincidentally at the time, to make a whole bunch of videos and endorsements. Dylan Mulvaney was an actor who then, during COVID, came out as a trans woman, meaning biological male, dressing as and living as a female. I think everything I just said was accurate. It probably will get me censored, but I think it's accurate. So CNN did a segment asking people up and down the street, what do you think about this situation? The CNN correspondent referred to Dylan Mulvaney as he and him. How that got through the editors, I have no idea. Even a place with low standards like CNN, I mean, holy cow, the script has to be written, it has to be approved by an editor, it has to be voiced. Well, it goes out on the air, referring to a biological male as he and him. Well, then they apologized. They ended a program yesterday by indicating, and this is the exact quote from CNN. Yesterday in a segment about transgender influencer. Okay, let me stop right there. How many of you never thought we'd hear a phrase, transgender influencer? Influencer enough. I mean, that's bad enough. All right, let's go back to the quote. Yesterday in a segment about transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney, who was featured in Bud Light's recent campaign, she was mistakenly referred to by the wrong pronoun. CNN aims to honor individuals' ways of identifying themselves, and we apologize for that error. All right, CNN, you want to honor individuals' ways of identifying themselves. I have long identified as a left-handed relief pitcher for the Yankees winning the World Series. Let's go with that the next time you ask me to come on. I'm a left-handed relief pitcher for the Yankees. That's how I identify. It was never going to happen, and I'm going to tell you right now at this age and in this physical shape, it's not going to happen, but I'm identifying that way. So I expect everyone to treat me like a World Series champion. Separately, I identify as wealthy, and I mean by money. I am rich. I have it coming out of my pockets. I'm not Todd Starnes rich, but, you know, I'm wealthy. That's how I identify. So I expect that when I go into a store, they should just give me all the items that I want that a wealthy person would purchase and a wealthy person should have. I identify with being wealthy. So by gosh, you better treat me that way. You better refer to me as the wealthy radio syndicator and host, Jeff Stein. That's what I'm looking for. But we would never do that, would we? But we do it here. And why do we do it here? We do it here because we're afraid of offending people. Not conservatives, you can offend them. Not those with deep faith, you can offend them. You can't offend the preferred class of the week, if you will. I don't give two hoops about Dylan Mulvaney. I don't care if what this biological male did was say, you know what, this is going to be the biggest scam ever. I'm going to say I'm a woman. I'm going to make a ton of money. I'm going to do these videos. It's the role of a lifetime. And after everybody buys in, then I'm going to say, ha, psych, just kidding. I don't care. Do that. That's a great gag. And if this individual actually believes, fine, go ahead. But as I recall, I'm old enough to recall when the biological male started making these videos and how women were terribly upset at this biological male's portrayal of women. You remember that? It's probably been scrubbed from the internet. But when Dylan Mulvaney started making these videos, women were very upset. Well, how do you know what it's like for your monthly? How do you know what it's like to ABC? All the things that were being discussed in the video. It seemed like a gag, a campy gag, a parody of a shallow female. And women were upset about it. Don't pay attention to this, they said. But that was also at a time when we protected women when it came to engaging in sports. That was also at a time when we said, if you are a biological male, you compete with males, and we protect and honor women and their achievements in sports. But in a few short years, CNN, whose middle name used to be News, apologizes for using a pronoun that an individual didn't like, despite the fact that it is accurate. He, him, biological male, seems accurate. Now you have female athletes who are losing out on opportunities at all levels because males who couldn't cut it competing against other males now identify as females and all of a sudden show up in these competitions, these athletic competitions, where they have certain advantages because of characteristics of birth. That is Joe Biden's America. That is the progressive America. The one where you can't laugh at the absurd. The one where generations of foundational work to protect, in this case, women in sports, the example I was giving, we don't care about that because we want to be more inclusive. We know better. Reinvent yourself. Be who you want to be. All right, I want to be wealthy, and I want to be a skilled left-handed relief pitcher. The only part that's true about anything I just said was that I am left-handed. But that's how I identify, and darn it, you better go along with it. All right, that's our number one, Liz Peek, after the break. Thanks for being along. I'm Jeff Stein, and this is The Todd Starn Show.
Experiences are what people love most about travel. With Viator, you can browse and book tours and activities so incredible you'll want to tell your friends. They offer everything from simple tours to extreme adventures in over 190 countries. There's something for everyone. Download the Viator app now and use Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 2 of a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on more than 140 tremendous radio stations, and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. He's back from travels tomorrow. And I'm coming to you from Liberty University Studio at my home base, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Great of you to be along. Give us a call at 844-747-8868. That's the same number as always, 844-747-8868. We'll have you join this conversation in our next segment. Plenty of time for your calls this hour. But let's start by going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And I am always pleased when I see the guest list. And Miss Grace has scheduled Liz Peek for a conversation. Thanks so much for coming on the program. Jeff Stein in Iowa, how are you?
I am terrific. Thanks so much for having me.
LizPeek.com is the website. You write for various outlets. I always tell people to go to your website. You might as well get the clicks. And your most recent one on Fox News, the rest of the world on the left side of the spectrum just figuring out what a lot of people already knew about Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
Yeah, it's high time, I would say. Look, I have been saying for months that Joe Biden is basically a fraud, and that's a pretty harsh indictment. But what do I mean by that? I mean, he is nothing that he appears to be. He appears to be a gentlemanly, kind, family man, political moderate, someone who really cares about our country, wants to bring our country together. He's none of those things. He is a pretty vicious guy, apparently, also uses very bad language. That's what Axios wrote about earlier this week. He uses four-letter words indiscriminately, blows up against all his subordinates. And this is the guy who on day one or two of his presidency made a big thing about how everyone in my administration is going to treat everyone with respect. And if you don't, you're out, no questions asked. He does not treat anyone with respect, apparently. Aides, according to Axios, are literally afraid to go see him individually without taking someone along for fear that he'll scream at them. Well, that may also be a generational snowflake issue, but the reality is he's not a very nice guy. Maureen Dowd wrote a pretty shocking column about how ignoring their seventh grandchild really does not tee him up to be father or grandfather of the year. And, you know, she apparently had never read his daughter's diaries, and his daughter talks about possibly having been sexually abused and how her father used to shower with her, as she said, probably inappropriately. And let's talk about the politics of this guy. What did he run on? He ran on being in the middle, bringing the country together. I don't think literally we've ever had a more divisive president. He takes after and just scorches what he calls MAGA Republicans, which is, by the way, 71 million Americans at every opportunity, and basically, you know, calls everyone a racist and so forth. So I think Joe Biden's gotten away for years by dint of a wonderful, I'm sure, dentist-arranged smile and a lot of corny talk about his homeland and everything. But the reality is, this is not a guy you want to go have a beer with, frankly. And I just think people are kind of waking up to it. And again, high time.
Well, for the big problem for me is the hypocrisy. And, you know, that's not a news alert that there are there's hypocrisy with regard to politicians. But the whole image that he evolved to in time for the 2020 election was, as you note, the nation's grandpa, good old Joe. And for years, he cultivated this family image. And, you know, God bless the fact that he lost wife and children in the car accident 50 years ago. That would be devastating, and I don't diminish it. But he talked about how he would go home on the Amtrak to Delaware every night as a senator, et cetera, et cetera. It was all about family. Unless you're a four-year-old little girl in Arkansas, and then you don't exist, it's not even in question. There has been judicial determination of the parentage of this child, and yet the fact that it's avoided in the biographies, the fact that he turns angry when it's brought up, I mean, this is really transparent stuff that I don't know how deep it will resonate with the citizens, though.
Yeah, well, I think is that we have chipped away and chipped away in the last couple of years on that carefully crafted image, which, as you point out, has to do with family, has to do with kindliness, also has to do with decency, by the way. And when you look at, you know, in what, 2 weeks, we had that really horrific spectacle of trans people running around with their clothes off on the White House lawn, cocaine found in the White House. You know, that isn't restoring decency to the White House. But nothing like that ever happened during the Trump administration, just to be clear. This is sort of a new low that the Biden White House has permitted. I don't know if you saw the news today, but the Secret Service has determined they can't figure out who left the cocaine in the White House. The FBI yes. didn't develop the fingerprints. What? I mean, talk about an insult to Americans everywhere. Not a surprise, but you know, honestly, I think people are just getting fed up, and we're being played for fools by this man. And look, all of that is on top of the idea that this man and his family members are corrupt, and they've taken money through an extravagant web of hard-to-discover LLCs, money from pretty awful players in Ukraine and China, companies in China associated with the Communist Party, et cetera. None of that should have happened. So let's stop giving Joe Biden a pass based on an image that is not real. And let's actually start digging into who this guy is. What's he been doing? How did all these millions? James Comer now says it could be $40 million that has threaded its way through all these highways and byways of finance to the Biden bank accounts. Where did Joe Biden's money come from? I mean, and to have him respond to pretty credible allegations of corruption by saying, where's yes. the money, flippantly?
Yeah.
Pretty bad, in my view.
It's the arrogant, flippant nature of these things. Telling the story about when he was vice president and you better fire the prosecutor or else we're going to hold the money. Go ahead and call Barack. Go ahead and talk to him. I mean, just it's barroom story kind of thing. All right, that, you know, but it's a pattern. that we're now seeing developed. And it's no secret that people often are different in private as they are in public. We heard stories that Donald Trump would use the occasional four-letter word and get angry and frustrated. That was big news. Apparently, it's not big news when Joe Biden does it, when, frankly, episodes of rage tie in with a medical diagnosis some are suggesting should be revealed to the American public.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I was asked on TV yesterday, you know, do we care that he has temper tantrums? And the answer is yes, we do, because that is yet another sign, although we don't really need a lot more signs, that this president is perhaps struggling with dementia. And I say that perhaps because, you know, we don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it certainly seems that way. And one of the tells, according to people who do know and according to doctors I've spoken to, is that short-term temper thing. Now, other people say, oh, that's not true because Biden's always had a bad temper. I don't know the truth of it. Either way, it's not a very flattering picture. And my guess is it's real.
And I only laughed as you said that because that's the best they have. Oh, no, it has nothing to do with dementia.
Exactly.
He's always been a jerk and blowing up. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Heavens.
I know. Well, you know, you go back to some of the episodes where people have challenged him on, for example, school history, his education history. And he really blows his top because he's not a very smart guy. And he lies about his school achievements all the time. He says he was the top of his class in law school. And I forget the number, but he was like 87 out of 98 in his law school. So that's just a plea. And by the way, that's another thing. I mean, you know, nobody on the left wants to talk about it, but Joe Biden lies all the time, habitually. Who do you know who got caught for plagiarism not once in his life, but on multiple occasions? He almost got kicked out of school because of plagiarism. And then he engaged in it again to such a degree he had to step away from trying to run for president. That's a pretty amazing accomplishment. It's a really amazing accomplishment to come back from that and have everybody just sort of act like that didn't matter. And the fact that you're profoundly dishonest really shouldn't impact your achievements and your credentials for being president. Wow. You know, there's a lot there.
Exit question for Liz Peek online, LizPeek.com, the most recent article we've been discussing about the president's behavior, and now even those on the left are waking up. Is this part of an effort to shuffle Joe off to the side so that somebody else ultimately is the nominee? I mean, is this the mainstream, formerly mainstream media, softening things up so that it won't look so bad when he decides to quote-unquote retire?
Well, I think that could be part of it. I mean, you know, what would Democrats like? I can't imagine that most party officials and most Democrats actually want Joe Biden as their candidate in 2024. He's got corruption problems. He's got all this, you know, problems with the country and foreign affairs. I mean, there's a million things Republicans go after. Obviously, when you have the lowest approval ratings of any president since Harry Truman, except for Jimmy Carter, that's not a good look, and it really isn't a very firm foundation for a campaign. So I think they want to get him out. And the easiest thing would be for Joe Biden to be convinced to step aside for health reasons in the next 2 or 3 months. And by the way, it kind of has to be in the next 2 or 3 months, because otherwise it's Kamala. She is the obvious heir apparent. And if you wait until January, you know, the primaries are, you're on the cusp of the primaries. You've got to have a primary race to get there, which is why, by the way, Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer and all these people, Pritzker, Jay Pritzker, are trying to get their oar in and kind of make sure they're waving their hands desperately at the back of the classroom saying, look at me, I'm here. You know, don't forget, I could run too, because I think they all feel like they could do a better job.
But we've got Bidenomics going for us.
Well, so we're actually at a tipping point on Bidenomics, where actually inflation is getting better. It's not 2% yet. It probably won't get to 2%, but it's certainly getting better. But I think now, in the next 6 months, the economy is going to roll over into recession. So as the campaigns really get underway, unemployment's going to be increasing. And I don't think it's going to be a dire recession, but I think we'll be in a recession. And all these nonsensical comments about how many jobs he's created, that's going to disappear. So, you know, but he's sort of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't on the economy. But people don't feel good about where they are, and it's quite understandable why their wages have not kept pace with inflation.
It is always enjoyable and informative. Liz Peek, thank you for the time. I appreciate it greatly. Hope to talk to you again soon.
I do, too. Take care. Thanks so much for having me on.
Liz Peek, P-E-E-K is how she spells her surname. LizPeek.com is her website, and that's where you see the writings that she does on Fox News and The Hill, and the most recent one, which was posted a couple of days ago, talks about how the unlikeliest of individuals are now figuring out that maybe Joe Biden isn't as nice a guy as had been anticipated. Your thoughts about this, let us know. 844-747-8868. We'll continue the conversation from the Liberty University studio in a moment. One more time, it's 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. He's back tomorrow. Thanks for you staying with us on this edition of the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is how you can connect with us in the Liberty University studio. I want to pick up on something that we were talking about with Liz Peek in the last segment, and if you missed it, you can always go to toddstarns.com after the program and listen to the Toddcast podcast. But we were talking about President Biden and cognitive issues. And I know I've talked with you folks about this in the past, but some of you may not have heard it. But when Mr. Biden was running for president in the 2008 cycle, so this was now 2007 when he's hanging out in Iowa, and I was teaching at a college at the time, and he came and spoke to, a small crowd. But I came up and talked to him afterwards, and I had met him previously on the campaign trail because he'd been running for president multiple times in my state of Iowa. And he talked about when he had the two brain aneurysms and the two brain surgeries and how he wasn't sure how he would recover. He started teaching at the college level, started teaching a Saturday course at the law school, the one where he finished at the bottom of the class, apparently. And he was talking about how that was just very difficult work. He thought teaching a college class would be a piece of cake, and it was harder than anything else he had done. But what has struck me in more recent years is the fact that he was referencing the two brain surgeries he had in 1988. And how there, and again, you can find this on the internet, they haven't scrubbed it yet, but talking about the fact that he had pain, a level of paralysis, bleeding that seeped from the brain into the spinal column, all of this. Is it too much to think that having had brain surgery a quarter century ago might impact his ability to function today? If you recall when President Reagan, in that poignant letter to America, indicated that he had been diagnosed with dementia and Alzheimer's, and there were folks who said, you know, you remember when he was thrown from the horse or fell off the horse and how he had bleeding on the brain and had to have brain surgery? They were making connections. And again, I'm not a doctor. I have met Mr. Biden. It's been many years. The guy we see now is not the guy that I met and talked with. But he mentioned the brain surgery. It's part of the record. I just find it tragic in many respects. And the behavior that we've seen now overseas. Today at a news conference, he was asked a question and his response was very smart alecky. Wow, you guys ask really insightful questions. Just a complete dismissal of serious questions. Again, Mr. President, would you like to comment on reports about your family receiving money? And he comes up with a kind of an evil grin and says, yeah, where's the money then? Where is it? That's Americans deserve better. Let's just leave it at that. Americans deserve better. 844-747-8868. I'm going to talk about how language has been changing and not for the better when we come back. Stay with us. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein, coming to you from the Liberty University studio. Todd is back tomorrow. Guests on the Todd Starnes radio program join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And as we've discussed today, now more than ever, it's important to stand up for what we believe in, and that includes supporting companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile, you see, donates a portion of every single dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. So your money's not going for these crazy schemes or things you don't believe in. If you switch to Patriot Mobile now, and you should, use promo code Todd. That will get you free activation and a free gift. My favorite word, free. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage. It uses the same towers other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for veterans, first responders, those heroes that we need to value and respect every day. Also discounts for you multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based, thank you very much, customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Special discount, free premier activation, but you have to use promo code Todd. For more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. I'll say that again. That's 972-PATRIOT. And we'll have guests next hour on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We'll take your calls now at 844-747-8868. I am someone who has used words his entire life. I started in radio when I was in high school. It's what put me through college. It's what put me through law school. So I've worked as a lawyer, a journalist, a college professor. I write articles. I write books. I create commentaries. It's words for me, right? And words mean things, or at least they used to. And the broad concept of what I want to talk about here, friends, is just because you call something something else, that doesn't make it so. As I suggested last hour, I'd like to identify as being wealthy, but that doesn't mean I have money. Identification and twisting these definitions, that's not reality. As Rush taught us so many times, you need to live in Reelsville. Well, here's a little bit of Reelsville. When you were growing up and you had to go get a vaccination, what was the point of that? Well, it was to prevent getting whatever it was, chickenpox, measles, whatever it is. The definition of vaccine, the legal definition of vaccine, is any substance designed to be administered to a human being for the prevention of one or more diseases. I emphasize that for a reason. The prevention of disease. The whole point of having a vaccine is to prevent disease. But when the COVID vaccine did not prevent disease, the administration, the Biden administration, said, well, yeah, you know, it'll make it better. You won't get as sick. And then they changed the definition of vaccine on the CDC website. No longer would this prevent disease. In other words, the facts did not fit the definition, so they changed the definition in order to double down on control. Similarly, this is the same group that cannot define what a woman is. Now, I'm not talking about the folks over time who have said, well, now, wait a minute, you shouldn't use the word women because that has M-E-N in it. women are not derived from men, and so you can't say women. And for a while we were supposed to, and you younger folks look this up in your history books, for a while we were supposed to spell the word women W-O-M-Y-N. See, you don't see the word men in there, do you? Women. Sounds the same, pronounced the same, spelled differently. That didn't catch on. But now those on the left cannot identify what a woman is, because we are supposed to identify with whatever feels good at a given moment. Never mind what reality is. And this is now spilling over into the conversation about the right to life and abortion. I have noticed now that we're changing language and we no longer refer to the person who has the child in gestation within her. We don't call her a mother. For a while, they were going with birthing person, which was just completely ludicrous. But now I'm hearing the phrase patient. And this is the warning I'm giving you about how those on the left, the pro-abortion crowd, I mean, you've got the pro-life crowd, what's the opposite? It's pro-death, and that's abortion. The pro-abortion crowd is talking about this being a women's health care issue. Abortion is a women's health care issue. Certainly not the child's health care, because they're killing the child. But we are hearing about abortion restrictions, and they talk about exceptions, as in rape, incest, or the life of the patient. I am hearing this more and more in news coverage, and it is a subtle change, but mark my words, it is very deliberate. Very deliberate. We used to say life of the mother. Nope, life of the patient, because this is a health care issue. And you're denying health care to individuals formerly known as women. Do not accept this changing of language. Do not accept the redefinition, because that's laying the foundation for so many other things to come. This is why COVID was so important to those who wanted to control you, coming from the left, because the precedent was established. Well, we can shut down the country. Well, we can make everybody wear a mask. Well, we can have you take a jab, or else we'll throw you out of the military and then complain because we're not hitting our quotas for recruitment. Life of the patient. That is striking to me. And I don't know how widespread it is. I don't know if you have heard this yourself. But the concept that we are taking fundamental principles, like the gender of an individual, as created by God, and we're now changing all of this. It is harder to argue against women's health care, right? And I'm not. I am not in any way arguing against women's health care. But I am also cognizant that there is a life in gestation when we're talking about the abortion issue. It is not simply a right to health care, because if that's what you are framing the discussion, using that as your parameter, you're going to bring a lot more people over to your side, and that's why they do it. You need to be abundantly careful about the language that is being used and the reason why words change. Saying that abortion is illegal unless the life of the patient is at issue is playing into this agenda. You don't want to say mother because of the fact that the child has not yet been born, so you're not the mother. Okay, I'll play that game. But the individual is a woman then. the life of the woman carrying the child in gestation. Patient? Well, that's just a medical procedure. There's so much more to it. They want you, the pro-abortion people, want you to think this is just a medical procedure. It is not. In our first hour, if you were kind enough to be with us, and if not, you can catch the Toddcast podcast later today at toddstarns.com. But if you were with us in the first hour, I spoke with the governor of the state of Iowa, Kim Reynolds, who called a special session of the state legislature earlier this week to pass a fetal heartbeat bill. She signs it tomorrow. They've already tried a lawsuit to stop it from taking effect even before it's been signed. That's how eager they are, those on the left. And as the legislature met, there were a lot of protesters. And there were screams and cries from the steps of the rotunda into the gallery of the legislature. Screams and cries from those who did not like this public policy. And my response is, once the law goes into effect, there will be even more screams and cries, but they will be the screams and cries of innocent babies who were allowed to experience life, who otherwise would not. And that's why you cannot let this simply be changing some language as if it all is innocent. It is not innocent in any way. I want to take the break now, and when we come back, I want to share with you a clip from a movie that's not a new movie, and at the time was found to be hilarious satire and sadly became eerily prescient. That's coming up. Liberty University Studio, 844-747-8868. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Stay tuned. More on this in a moment. You're listening to The Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to The Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's back tomorrow. We're in the Liberty University studio, and you can reach us here for this coast-to-coast conversation at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. In our next hour, we'll speak with the author of a new book entitled The Real RFK Jr. His name is Dick Russell. And Congressman Ralph Norman, friend of the program from South Carolina, is along in our next hour as well. So in our previous segment, I was talking to you about how you can call something whatever you want, doesn't make it so. In other words, you change the name, you change the definition, that does not mean that it's so. And we've heard the phrase, truth is stranger than fiction. I want to play a bit of fiction for you now. This is from Monty Python. Remember the British comedy group? They were just all the go in the 70s and into the 80s. And this is from a motion picture that might have offended a few of you. It's called The Life of Brian. The thesis here is that one of the characters is born next to the Christ child and they get mixed up. All right, I mean, it's a ridiculous premise. But the point is, there's some great satire and comedy in this. Now, this is 1979, which, with my public school education, would be 44 years ago. This clip is, and it features the voices of Michael Palin and Eric Idle, John Cleese, and another actress. I'm afraid I don't know who she is, but this is a scene from the movie that in 1979 they said, well, this is ridiculous, this is so hilarious, it would never happen. Listen to this clip, if you would please, Dylan.
It is the inalienable right of every man
or woman
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed.
Thank you, brother.
Or sister.
Where was I?
I think you finished.
Oh, right.
Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stan? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Well, why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies!
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry. What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies?
It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
From Monty Python's movie The Life of Brian, 1979. I remember seeing it at the time or years after on cable TV. And it was satire. It was, how ridiculous can it be for a man to say he wants to be a woman because he wants to have babies, and the voice of reason in there saying, you can't do this. You do not have a womb. What are you going to do for gestation? Put it in a box? It was comedy because it was so ludicrous and so ridiculous. It could not possibly be reality. And yet, those conversations, if held today, well, we would censor anyone who criticized it. We would run them out of polite society. Well, how dare you question that this man who says he wants to be a woman can, well, of course, men can have babies. No, they can't. They lack, if you will, the plumbing necessary. Males have different plumbing. And hearing this thing I saw again the other day, I'm not going to age gracefully, folks. I'm just going to warn you about that. Chest feeding. No, it's not chest. Oh, goodness. This is an example. Here's why I played it for you. First of all, it's funny. I'm sorry, it's funny. I don't mean to offend anyone who identifies as whatever. It's funny because it's silly. And to show you that that was deemed a generation or two ago to be satire and humorous, that could have been a conversation that people had today in the White House, on the left side of the political spectrum anywhere. I had thought about taking a transcript of that and just posting it. And if I did that, if you didn't know it was satire or parody and you just read the transcript, you would say, well, that sounds like something that would be discussed in American politics and culture today. It is ridiculous. And it needs to be called out because their reality is satire and fiction. And it needs to be kept in check. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to talk with you. I hope you stay around for hour three. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being with us on the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
Close enough for today. Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour number three of a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. Coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations, streaming live as well at toddstarnes.com. I said close enough because Todd's not here. I'm Jeff Stein. Hello, fellow patriots. Good to be with you. Todd is back tomorrow, and I'm having a great time today talking with all of you, and I'd like to hear from you. I'm in the Liberty University studio, and you can join me at 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls in the next segment, 844-747-8868. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, favorite guest of the program, South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman. We're going to talk about the National Defense Authorization Act and amendments that he is proposing that should be taken a look at by the full Congress. But let's now go live to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome Dick Russell. Mr. Russell is an author. His latest book is entitled The Real RFK Jr. Trials of a Truth Warrior. Mr. Russell, Jeff Stein here in Iowa filling in for Todd on the national show. Thanks for taking the time.
Hi, Jeff. Yeah, thank you. Good to be with you today.
And in full disclosure, you and I spoke on my program in Iowa earlier this week about this book, and I found it interesting when I said, how's it being received? And you said, well, nobody's reviewing it. You know, again, you're kind of being blackballed on this. And I thought, well, we need to tell many more people about it. So tell me how the book, The Real RFK Jr., came to be. What's your connection with Mr. Kennedy?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've known Mr. Kennedy for many, many years, more than 20 years, actually, going back to when we were involved in some of the same environmental battles together and that I was writing about in the early 2000s, a fight to save the gray whales in Baja, California, one of the big industrial salt works, and then the Atlantic striped bass, which I had been a summer fisherman for and an activist and wrote a book called Striper Wars, an American fish story about. So we got to know each other then, and then over the years worked together on different things sometimes and became friends, actually. And so it was as an investigative journalist, but also a friend, that I was just outraged by the fact that he was being blackballed, you know, by the big media. And he used to be the darling of all these papers, the New York Times and everything, and write op-eds about things he was involved in. And once he got involved in the public health issues, he was censored like nobody else. And I felt like a book that, like The Real RFK Jr., that really showed who this guy was, what he'd been through, all the environmental victories he's achieved, how he'd fought for decades for the rights of poor communities and indigenous peoples and the middle class of the country, and the personal challenges that he had to overcome in order to do this. The people needed to, God, I hope people will buy this book, because it really gives you something that's been censored about him for some time now and needs to be known by people, especially because now he's running for president.
And as you suggest by that statement, this was a book that you started before he had made any noises about running for president, before he declared his candidacy. This dates back to when all of a sudden those who he had been linked with for years had turned a cold shoulder and started to badmouth him, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's nobody who'd been censored like he. I mean, he kicked off social media, off of Instagram, and you know, suddenly, even though he was never coming out and saying, I am anti-vax, he's not an anti-vaxxer per se. He's saying we need safe vaccines in this country that are rigorously tested before they're licensed against a placebo, which was not happening. And he's being labeled all these things and a conspiracy theorist. And in fact, there are conspiracies in this country that are very real and that he's aware of, such as the assassinations of his uncle and his father, are not by lone assassins. And I know a lot about that myself. He's being completely vilified. And I felt like, you know, this has got to be, it's just wrong. And I had no idea he was going to run for president when I started the book. I was just trying to tell the truth about who the real RFK Jr. is and what he's achieved in his life and what he's been through.
The book is called The Real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior. The author is Dick Russell. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. This is published by Skyhorse Publishing, the good folks that brought you Mr. Kennedy's book entitled The Real Anthony Fauci. So as you turned your attention toward telling his story, it's very different to work with someone, have them become a friend, but then you turn it around and say, all right, I want to tell the story. That means speaking with the subject, in this case, Mr. Kennedy, in a different way. It means talking to friends and relatives, etc. What did you learn about him, or what became much more prominent as you put together a book about his life and times?
Well, I certainly wanted to spell out all the different environmental victories he had and how those came to be. I was surprised to learn how much he worked across the aisle, so to speak, you know, with Republicans on various issues, including the New York Watershed Agreement, that had to get done, this agreement, and needed people working together in order to make that happen. And regular folks, you know, commercial fishermen and farmers who didn't necessarily agree with him on all of his views or vice versa, you know, but he was able to do that. And so that was one thing that I learned in the course of it. But another was just, I had no idea. Of course, you would think, and it certainly was true, that his family went through tremendous trauma over the assassinations of his uncle and JFK, and then 5 years later his father. But what he suffered after that, and he took off. I told the story of how he, in the real RFK Jr., of how when he was 15 years old, he just left the family. You know, he left Hyannisport and he took off and rode freight trains with hobos around the country, never even told them who he was. And then ended up living with indigenous communities in Latin America through his mentor, Lem Billings, who had been a friend of his uncle JFK and took him under his wing really after his father's assassination. So he learned about, you know, people who are very, very different than he in those circumstances. At the same time, you know, he was going up to Harlem and scoring drugs. You know, he was a very high functioning addict. And spoke about that quite openly with me, and the fact that he's been in AA meetings ever since 1983, when he became, quote, sober for the first time in 14 years. And he's helped an awful lot of people through their own personal struggles. So I wanted to get across in the real RFK Jr. the fact that he'd been through all of this and come out the other side as a much deeper person. Somebody who could relate to, who had compassion for other people who'd been through these kinds of things, and also a leader who, you know, has dedicated himself to studying the science for all these environmental law cases and eventually the public health arena, who was not coming out of nowhere.
Dick Russell is our guest on the Todd Starn Show. He is the author of The Real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior. Get it wherever you get your good books these days. It's published by Skyhorse Publishing. It's been out about 3 weeks or so, and he joins us here on the Starn Show. It is really interesting how the COVID situation, for lack of a better phrase, COVID situation, has exposed the shallowness of so many people. Again, to your point, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was, I think your phrase, the darling of the left. And then he just simply raised his hand and said, I don't think this makes sense. And he shunned Naomi Wolf the same way. It's a fascinating thing how people who, again, they linked arms forever. And now they don't return his calls and deliberately try to stifle him. That has to be quite crushing and sad for someone who's experienced a great tragedy in his life.
Oh yeah, I mean it's troubles him greatly, but you know, his family members have turned against him, many friends, I mean people I thought would be happy to be interviewed about their environmental victories with him, several just wouldn't talk to me, you know, and they said, "Oh, I can't have anything to do with him anymore." I mean, it's weird. It can be because, you know, and these are Democrats. These are liberal Democrats who have, you know, traditionally been against censorship and for openness of ideas and let's just have conversations about it. But nobody was willing, not nobody, but most people weren't willing to do that anymore. So he was very much affected by this. But at the same time, you know, he said, he's always said, he signed my book back in a book that he worked on called Crimes Against Nature almost 20 years ago. And he said, I'll see you on the barricades. I mean, he knew that this country was in trouble and that the media was basically being bought up by all these corporate interests. And so were the pharmaceutical companies connecting, putting all their ads on TV that they never used to be allowed to do. And so are they going to come out against the big pharma operations? No. So he was well aware of this for a long time, and he was aware of what's called agency capture, you know, that the EPA that was basically in league with a lot of the big pesticide manufacturers and also fuel companies. The EPA wasn't going to enforce these things. There's a revolving door between the agency and the industry. And he's not the only one pointing this out, but it was, you know, certainly he became very aware of it. And then, again, with the pharmaceutical industry and the FDA, the NIH with Fauci running it, I mean, the connections between the biodefense industry and Dr. Fauci's agency supposed to be protecting public health, all these things that he came to learn about, he went out there and talked about, and nobody else was willing to do that. So, yeah, I mean, that was not a popular way to go in terms of the merger between, you know, the media and the corporate and state power in this country. Also is definitely undermining, I feel, our democracy, and so does he, that he's out there now fighting to do what he can to preserve.
And I only have 60 seconds left, Mr. Russell, but what is driving his run for the presidency? Is it that? Is it the feeling that our true democracy as we know it is in peril?
Yes, I would say absolutely. And also the fact that he didn't see anybody else out there who's willing to speak truth to power in the way that he is. And as he puts it in his campaign slogan, you know, heal the divide that exists in this country. Because he knows how to work with all different kinds of people, and that's what I think he would bring to the fore if he's allowed to, if he captures enough people to get the nomination.
Dick Russell is a New York Times bestselling author, and his latest book is entitled The Real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior. Skyhorse Publishing brings it to you. You get it wherever you get your good books. Mr. Russell, thank you for the time here on the Todd Starnes Show. Pleasure to speak with you again, and continued good luck spreading this word on the new book.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Great to be talking with you today.
Likewise, sir. Dick Russell, The Real RFK Jr. And Mr. Russell joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We'll continue from the Liberty University studio after this short break, and we'd love to take your calls at 844-747-8868. At the bottom of the hour, Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina joins us. Hope you stay with us. Jeff Stein in for Todd. He'll be back tomorrow. You're listening to The Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I've got 4 minutes and two phone callers. I think you see how this is going to go. Matt is listening on the talk station in North Carolina. Matt, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I got 2 minutes. What do you got?
Hello, Mr. Stein. Can you hear me okay?
You're coming through loud and clear, sir. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. To my shock, but not surprise, as we all know, the White House probe I saw at lunchtime at my neighbor's TV. I don't watch TV. I'm a radio guy. And the Secret Service closed out the investigation on the cocaine probe in the White House. I mean, I'm a better investigator than they are. What's your opinion?
Well, we've talked about this a little bit. I mean, it is either that they are covering up for someone or they are completely inept, and I'm not sure which is worse. What if that was not cocaine, Matt? What if that was anthrax? What if that was some kind of an explosive device? I don't know what's worse, the fact that they're hiding this and the fact that there may have been drugs earlier in the White House in a separate situation, or the fact that this is the gang that can't shoot straight.
No, they're hiding it. Can I make one more quick point, though?
Yes, please.
I just put together my Trump 2024 flag. I stand with 45. It's big and it's gorgeous.
You know how big a flag is it?
It's about 4 by 6.
How big a flag?
About 4 foot by 6 foot. It's bigger than a 3 by 5. And I'll tell you where you get one if you want.
Please.
SebGorkaStore.com. Todd's buddy, Seb Gorka.
Okay. S-E-B. All right. Very good.
SebGorkaStore.com.
Matt, that's outstanding. Thank you for listening. You don't need TV. You just need radio, and I'm appreciative of that. Robert is listening also in North Carolina on WHKP. Thanks for calling into the Starn Show. What's on your mind today?
Well, Jeff, I'm telling you one thing. It's good to hear you on there. You sound a lot like Todd. You're very aggressive on everything. The thing I want to talk about is Coach Kane. They found everybody who was inside them offices and stuff inside the building there. That's all I got to say. I mean, who was there on January 6th? They called every one of them. So why can't they catch this culprit who had some cocaine in the warehouse? You know, there's cameras everywhere, brother, and there's something going on. God is going to take it back. I have a feeling he's got it in his hands somehow. But this is going to come around on him really hard, you know, even after they said it wasn't. There's something going on really bad here.
You know, every time you think, Robert, that it can't get any worse, then something like this comes up. Are you surprised by anything you hear coming out of Washington these days?
Well, no, but Willie Nelson and Merle burned one out to burn the Jay out on the, you know, outside the White House.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing really, I don't see nothing really wrong with those outside. There wasn't inside. But, you know, being inside the White House and this going on, and, you know, they called everybody. They're in jail right now, in that awful jail, and they're in the District of Columbia, and that's what I'll call it. It ain't Washington, D.C. no more to me, you know.
No, you're exactly right, Robert, and thanks for calling in from North Carolina today. Yeah, it's not our nation's capital anymore, is it? I mean, it has been taken over by a leftist agenda. And again, you know, a couple of country stars firing up marijuana outside the White House, it's illegal. Yeah, absolutely. But they didn't sneak it past the guards. They didn't hide it in a cubbyhole as if it's a drug drop. They didn't make sure that the bag had no fingerprints on it. Yeah, there's a huge difference. And again, the fact that our top law enforcement cannot identify suspects on bringing contraband into the White House, I'm frankly more ashamed at that. I don't care what it is. What about the safety of the House of the executive branch of government? All of these things are just frightening. Representative Ralph Norman of South Carolina will help us make sense of it after the break. Jeff in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's back tomorrow. We continue from the Liberty University studio and invite you to join us as a couple of callers did in the last segment at 844-747-8868. We begin this final half hour of the program by going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and a return guest to the program, South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman. Congressman, thanks so much for taking the time. Jeff Stein here for Todd. How are you, sir?
Well, glad to be with you, Jeff. Appreciate what you do.
Appreciate what you're trying to do to keep the military, actually the military. Now, this has to do with the National Defense Authorization Act. We obviously need a strong defense, but it seems to me that we have strayed far from the purpose of the military in these bills and some of these expenditures. Tell me about some of the things you'd like to see changed.
Well, what's been positive about this, Jeff, is the fact that we've had amendments that we could make change. There's nothing more important than our national defense. Economic security is national security, and if we have one without the other, we're no good. But it starts with national defense. Now, in this bill, you're right. The woke, the transgender surgeries, the dollars that are spent for basically just, you know, not spent to protect America, building planes, building ships, which were just not there. We righted a lot of that. I'm on the Rules Committee. We were there till 2:30 last in the morning. You know, we'll have another long night probably tonight in voting. But it's ended up a good bill. It's been a hard-fought bill, but it's been good to do this. The top-line spending, we got things cut out. again, like the work programs. And not everybody got what they wanted, but I think if you compare it to what the Senate is considering, which is Democrat-controlled, it's going to be a far worse bill if we didn't get something over. And I think we'll pass it late tonight. And I think the $39 billion in cuts were cuts in the right areas. And, you know, it's a if we can't do this, then we don't deserve to stay in Congress.
Well, that's a strong statement, but this is very important because our very survival depends upon a strong military. And here's what I wonder with these bills, and just help me out because I'm ignorant on this, Congressman. So if the Pentagon wanted money for diversity, equity, and inclusion, that DEI that some find to be correct, so important, and you folks strike the provision, what's to keep them from just taking a little money out of a different allocation and use it for that?
What we cut it out, and we did. Most of the DEI programs, some of them were my bills, some of them were other congressmen, but we took it out, including the transgender surgeries and other things. Now, can they, when the appropriations process gets into high gear and money is actually allocated for the programs, they could get it. But you play the cards you're dealt while we're, you know, when we can. And so
sure,
this vote is big. You got to understand it's a real juggling act because we're getting no Democrat support, zero. That's why we bifurcated the bill. We had the first part of the bill was just basics that very few people could disagree with. The second part, which is what we'll be voting on today and tomorrow, gets into the more the details of what people are very adamant about, like should the military budget be spent for abortions? I happen to think it should not. Should the dollars spent should be spent in the military be spent for changing a man into a woman? I think not. It's things like that that are basic to me, that are linchpins, and we got a lot of that out. And which was a good thing. We didn't get everything we wanted, but it's sure better than letting it go like it has been, and to keep this up. And bear in mind, the president, we're fighting an administration and we're fighting a Democrat Congress that just disagrees with all of us, what I just mentioned to you.
Well, it comes down to the fact that the military is there to advance the interests of the safety of the country. And if that means a strong fighting force, so be it, whether on offense or defense. I don't know that our enemies are as concerned about these social issues and hurting people's feelings. It doesn't seem to be the job of the military, at least last I knew.
No, and that's why we're a laughingstock under the Biden administration. I mean, that's why China is basically seeing the weakness of this country. They're building ships and building airplanes while we're dealing with funding social issues like you mentioned. I'm sorry, we can't send social workers to fight wars for America. We send our brightest and bravest to kill people and to protect this country, and that just hadn't been done since Donald Trump left office. And that's what's been so frustrating about this. The dollars that you would think were common sense is not so common with at least one faction of the representatives.
The people of the 5th District of South Carolina are fortunate to have Congressman Ralph Norman represent them in Washington. Congressman Norman joins us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Thursday. So again, the timetable with regard to voting on these issues that we're talking about, and what can people listening do to make sure that some of this stuff doesn't creep back in, or at the very least you can push through what you've been able to filter out?
Well, I mean, on C-SPAN, you will have all the individual votes. We had over 1,500 amendments, which for your listeners, Jeff, for the last 7 years, we couldn't even get an amendment on the floor. I mean, Pelosi would not even let us. It was a closed rule. You couldn't even vote on it. Now, that's why we there are a lot of amendments. Most of them are good amendments that we put up as far as the Republicans. But we out of 1,500, we last night took up probably 400 amendments that we rule in order, meaning we would be voting on them and having a chance to vote them up or down, like the abortion issue. Like a military dollars going to fund abortion and transgender surgery. That will be voted on, and you can watch C-SPAN and see, you know, which, and normally you can tell what, you know, what it affects and the title of it. Now, sometimes what it's labeled as is far different than what it actually is. But watch C-SPAN and you'll see a litany of probably all night votes that we're that we're considering, and that if it was if it's passed, then it goes into the NDAA and then on to the Appropriations Committee.
And so, if you've got a member of Congress, you folks listening, who you've kept in contact with, it's a good time to call the office and tell them you're going to be watching to make sure that they do the right thing. What do you think? Is the caucus going to hold enough to get these things through, or are you concerned about any defections?
Yeah, there's been some people that have been mad that their particular bill didn't get in. I didn't get all I wanted. I mean, everybody has got different views and different, you know, things that are important, not just to them, but to their district. Steve Scalise called me last night. He had a bill that he wanted that affects the Coast Guard, that affects a lot of things in his district. It did not get ruled in order. Now, I think Steve will probably recognize, as I will, you don't let the perfect get in the way of the good. And I will tell you, having all these amendments, having the right to vote on them is the American process, and I think we've made it better. I know we have. But over the next couple of hours, you'll see different debates going on with different people.
Congressman Ralph Norman joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. I want to ask, since I have you on the line, since we started the show, came the word from the White House that the Secret Service says we just can't figure out who brought cocaine into the West Wing. I mean, this doesn't pass the smell test for me. What about you?
Well, it would be laughable if it wasn't so serious. I mean, since the Biden administration has come in, I mean, think about what we've had. Think about the bombings of the pro-life centers. Think about the assassination attempt on the Supreme Court where they got the pictures of the guy and with no follow-up. Think about the head of the FBI who's testifying now, who took over 1,500 reports, and basically there was illegal getting the intel on these different Americans, which all of them happened to be conservatives. Think about the leak from the Supreme Court. They couldn't figure that out. I mean, again, if we can put a man on the moon, I think we can figure out how a leak occurred or who planted a bomb to blow up a pregnancy center and other things. But they weaponized every agency of government, Jeff. I mean, they just have. And the FBI has gone after innocent Americans, like they did on January 6th. Innocent Americans, over 50 of them, have been in jail for 3 years. If you and I run a traffic light, we get our day in court. These Americans have not had their day in court. When you've had, on film, you've had police officers letting people in the Capitol. Something is not adding up. And I would add this, Jeff.
No, we get called all. But, you know, again, this is not a time for the weak of heart, is it? We need to stand together and call this out when we see it.
It's going to take courage, and but the country's worth it. If we lose America, where do we go? Name me a country that we go to. And if we falter on this, we lose the country, which means lose our freedom.
To the Todd Starnes Show, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Todd making his way back to the Mighty 990 in Memphis from the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition event last night. He'll be here tomorrow. Thanks to South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman for joining us in the last segment. I had a little hiccup on the computer and couldn't give him a proper farewell. Apologize for that. But if you are watching this debate or you want to get in early, send a note to your representative and say, we're watching the Defense Appropriations Bill, and we need to strike out that stuff that doesn't have to do with keeping me and my family safe. So thanks to Congressman Norman for checking in. Earlier today, we heard from Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. Liz Peek of Fox News and The Hill, she writes columns for those entities. And earlier this hour, Dick Russell, the author of The Real RFK Jr. If you're interested in that book, go to the live show blog at toddstarnes.com. Grace was kind enough to have a link right there for it. And you can click and order the book or learn more about it. And as always, after this program ends, there's the Toddcast podcast at toddstarnes.com. I tell you, I come into work every day feeling great, and to a large degree, it has to do with the fact that I get a good night's sleep. I have a very good life. I'm very blessed. And finding MyPillow 2.0, well, that's just that's icing on the cake. Yes, I have MyPillow 2.0. Ordered it along with Giza Dream Sheets. Thank you very much. When Mike Lindell invented MyPillow, it had everything you could possibly want in a pillow. Well, now, two decades later, how do you make the best better? This new technology, the brand new fabric with temperature regulating threat. You know, you always hear about, well, I got to turn it over for the cool side of the pillow. It's all cool. Yes, the patented fill still there, but now the fabric stays a nice cool temperature. It is the softest, smoothest, and yes, coolest pillow that you'll ever own. For listeners of this program, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free. I took advantage of that, but I had to use promo code STARNS to do it, and so can you. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee, but I doubt you'll need that because it's fantastic. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square. That will give you the buy one, get one free offer. MyPillow.com, radio listener square. But you have to enter promo code STARNS. If you'd rather call, you can do that. It's 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get your MyPillow 2.0s now. We spoke earlier today about the president and some of the difficulties and challenges that he's been having. It's not been a very successful trip to Europe. And it's painful to see these other world leaders. He's at a podium at a news event with another world leader, and they look at him like he is the most pitiful human on the planet because he says things like this, Dylan.
The Minister of Cobalt's daughter of Ireland, you can tell that's a 40th slip on thinking of home, the daughter of Iceland, and I want to say I think we've had a very productive summit.
It's written down in front of him. You know, it's not like me sitting here behind a microphone and just ranting and getting tongue-tied. It's right in front of him. He could read it. Do you need to make the print bigger? I don't know. You know, he skipped the leader's dinner to get a good night's sleep. This is after lounging on the beach in Delaware before he left. Well, I guess that's all fine. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. And we hang our heads in shame. I am so grateful to Dylan and Josh in Memphis, Miss Grace also for putting together such a great guest list, and to Todd, of course, for allowing me to talk with you in this context. It is a real privilege, and I never take it for granted, and I thank you all for being a part of this. And one of the things that Team Starnes does, all these people that work behind the scenes, and you know them, you see the bylines at toddstarnes.com, and they put together all sorts of news stories every single day. And it's a good way to just see what's going on in the world, and that's why going to that website is tremendous. But I did not see this story on there, and it shows you that some people will buy anything. And I don't get anything for talking about Burger King right now, but Burger King operates in Thailand. You may not know that. Well, they have a new sandwich, and it would cost you $3.13 if it were to be here in the United States. And it is called the Real Cheeseburger. It is the real one, real cheese, full of flavor for those who love cheese. Super Cheeseburger from Burger King. Sesame seed bun and 20 slices of American cheese. no meat, no condiments, a cheeseburger made of 20 slices of American cheese. Now, I don't really know anyone from Thailand, but I'm just wondering how dumb they are to think that this is a good investment. The super cheeseburger with 20 pieces of American cheese. Well, at least it's American cheese. We can introduce that to the culture. Is it the vegan special? I mean, is there a problem with the sesame seeds? Well, in any case, it is on the menu for another 6 weeks or so in Thailand. So if you're traveling and you see the Burger King logo and you think this would be a good time to stop for some nice tasty beef, think again. The cheeseburger in Thailand just has cheese and no meat. That seems like an appropriate way to kind of draw things to a close. I'm Jeff Stein. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Getter, Threads, and Truth Social at Iowa Politics. My website is totallyiowa.com. Great privilege to be here. Thanks to the team. Thanks to you. Jeff Stein speaking for everybody here at the Liberty University Studio on the Todd Starnes Show.